certainly, I would say he made me more aware of his presence. And I theologically, of course, I knew of his omnipotence. I knew of his indwelling. I knew that he was with me always in everything, above, below, beside, inside me, and yet I became more aware that he was with me. And even in the depression, I hit a place that 4 months, I hit a place where I said, okay, Lord, I may feel this way the rest of my life, but I know you are with me. And under normal circumstances, knowing you are with me, I think the depression would be gone, in the sense that I have a profound sense of your awareness, but I still am experiencing depression, and I don't know why. But I'm just going to keep meditating on the Word, keep exercising, keep working on my book projects, doing my things, relaxing, having fun with Nancy. Pray that it'll go away, and it did, but while I was still in it, just even that acute awareness of his presence. Back with the abortion clinic lawsuits, I found myself having an acute awareness of how the Lord was with me, and that even in the courtroom where you had people testifying under oath with the abortion clinic, lying about us, telling that we were, to saying we were pushing and shoving women and calling them whores and telling them to F off and to do the, and I mean, literally words not in our vocabulary, that, we were being set, and we got a jury who's being told these things. And so they think this is true. And it was so humiliating, embarrassing, distressing, that those things would even be said, even when we knew it wasn't true. But when you're labeled that way, and when the newspaper portrays you, sir. But in those times, what hit me was in Peter, where it says of Jesus, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. And that was the time in my life where I had read in a book, some obscure book, where I had heard the phrase for the first time, an audience of one, that God is the audience of one. And I picked up on that phrase, and I started using it in my novels, God as the audience of one, and in some of my nonfiction as well. And it really hit me, because more than any time in my life, I had found myself thinking that, I cared about what people thought about me. And of course, that's natural. But what I mean is, I cared too much. And I was, as a pastor, I was trying to be popular with people, even though I would make myself unpopular when I preach messages on certain things and all that. But I still would, and I would say my skin got much thicker toward what people think about me. And that was almost, it had to happen, because I was on the front page of the newspaper. Things were being said about me that were false. And also, having raised a couple of daughters, and always been a women's advocate, the idea that I was being portrayed as a man insensitive to the needs of women, and the deep respect I had for my wife and my daughters and the staff members I worked with, and all of that. And so I think that was one of the ways the Lord helped me, was just saying, I know what's true. And of course, then he also made clear to me, that he knew all the worst parts of me that other people didn't know. And so sometimes people would think more lowly of me than perhaps they should. But for every person that thought less of me than perhaps they should, there were probably a lot more people that thought more highly of me than they should. So it was just kind of that reassurance perspective. And even why we named our ministry Eternal Perspective Ministries is just feeling that need of tapping in to, you know, we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen. The things that are seen are temporary. The things that are unseen are eternal.